Hello, everyone. Welcome back to For the Girls. We had a watch party today at Roebling Sporting Club in Williamsburg for the first race of the 2024 season, which was so much fun. It was great to see so many of you. We'll definitely plan one again soon. And it's just a really great spot to watch races if you're in the area. We can't wait to get into everything. I'm Sarah.
I'm Tiggy.
And I'm Chessa. Okay. Overall thoughts and takeaways. I'm going to split this one up a little bit because my overall thoughts are elated and happy because the watch party was so amazing. It was so cool to see everyone coming, hanging out, like even people showing up alone and making friends and just like building a really strong community. It never gets old to have everyone together. So that was amazing. Race-wise, overall thoughts.
Womp, womp.
What? Womp, womp, merp.
Yeah, I mean, did we expect anything different? No. Would we have liked something different?
Absolutely.
Oh, you did?
Yes. After, I know it's testing. I know it's just practice, but like I was really expecting.
We don't practice what we preach. We tell everyone to temper their expectations and we literally go crazy.
I know. I was like, maybe Ferrari is going to be beating Red Bull. Like I literally was buying into the Charles is going to convert a max pole to a win.
Yeah. But I think overall I was happy about the midfield and like seeing that there is going to be a solid battle this season between Ferrari, McLaren, and Mercedes. So that was good. What about you guys?
For me, I feel like it just kind of, at least it felt like it just picked back up where we left off at the end of last season with Red Bull super out front, honestly looking even maybe stronger than they did at the end of the season, which is a little bit worrisome. The Red Bull 1-2 is something that we didn't get necessarily a ton of towards the back half of the season because Checo wasn't as up there as he was at the start. But he's back. He's back to P2. We'll talk more about that. Yeah, I just feel like it was nice to see some of the teams kind of just pick up where they left off, like McLaren, Ferrari seems to be bringing a good fight, but like I didn't feel like we got as much wheel-to-wheel action in the midfield as I was expecting. Compared to last season, I felt like it was a little bit boring where there were a couple moments where teammates had some stuff, which was fun, like McLaren. I didn't feel like there was that much great racing personally.
I agree. I was disappointed even taking aside the Red Bull dominance, which we will get more into. It's absolutely insane that Max lapped up to P12 and won by 22 seconds. It was wild. And just beyond that, just the fact that we didn't have anyone kind of an unusual points score, an unusual points appearance, the 10 cars in the points were all of the top five constructors teams from last year in almost their order. Like Ferrari jumped above Mercedes, but it wasn't as if to kind of balance out the lack of excitement in the 1-2 spot. We had some big shakeup, or I love when a more back of midfield team can kind of bring the fight forward, but it really feels, at least now, like apart from Red Bull, the entire grid is stuck to some extent where they were last year, with the exception of Alpine sliding back.
Yeah. Yikes.
I don't know how they could drop farther, but they did.
I was just disappointed overall, because I think even if Max was going to win, I was really hoping that we would have maybe something else interesting going on, like a racing bull. I don't know if I'm saying racing bull or V-carb yet. I haven't really decided. Maybe a V-carb in the points, or just kind of something to work with. But I would say, the main highlight to what Chessa was saying was, I think, great wheel-to-wheel action between the Ferraris and the McLaren, some teammate action there, that they had some good wheel-to-wheel battles and kept it really clean, which is always great to see.
Yeah, it would have been brutal to see teammates taking each other out in the first race, although we'll get to the Yuki Danny drama, but I'm glad we didn't have anything too crazy. For MVPs and LVPs, for my MVP, I'm going to go with Checo. I think we
love that.
Obviously he's in a Red Bull. It's the best car on the grid. We all know that, but we've seen Checo struggle a lot last season, even in a great car. And so it was nice to see him start the season off strong, especially with all the rhetoric around he's not going to keep his seat past this season.
And yeah, he needed.
There's just a lot of pressure on him to perform, and so I think he did that this race, which was great. And then I'm going to give Stroll my runner-up. So,
tell us more.
He spun and he was P20 in like the first lap of the race and then finished in the points. So I think that was impressive.
Shout out Stroll. Love it. I totally agree. I think it's taken for granted, or we don't give him enough credit. And I can also be harsh on Checo. I think he does have one of the hardest jobs in F1 and one of the highest pressure seats in F1. And it must be so hard to be coming into a season given such a high amount of pressure and necessity to perform. Granted, again, he's in the best car by a mile.
Yeah, he has all the tools. It almost feels like it should be table stakes for him. Like, he should always be coming P2.
But I think it must be hard when you're coming P2 when that would be so celebrated to anyone else and you're still getting criticized for not being good enough. You know, you're still so far behind your teammate.
Yeah. I mean, he'll always be criticized because I think no one's ever going to shine a light to Max. But I think if he can solidly like sweep up some P2s throughout the season, like that's the best he could do. I agree. Like, he shouldn't be criticized for that.
And I think if the rumors are true about how Max really likes his car, so tuned up, so sensitive, like if it is at all tailored towards Max, then yeah, even if Checo is in the fastest car, if it's not his driving style, like it's still a tough thing to come P2 every single weekend, which I'm not trying to make excuses for Checo because I think he could have done way better last season. But all that to say, I'm happy he did well the first race.
Yes. Sarah, who's your MVP?
For me, it's Science. I loved seeing in Roebling 2 at the watch party, there was, I think, the most hype for Science overall. Whenever he made an overtake, when he crossed the line in P3, everyone was just so excited. And I think he has shown at Ferrari that he can really deliver under pressure. And he's one of those drivers who can get it done when it counts. He knows he needs to have a top performance the opening probably third of this season because he needs to be on people's minds heading into summer break. Even before then, just showing
for him.
Yeah, he needs to, if he wants to make sure he's getting a seat at a top team, something like a Mercedes or Red Bull, he has to kind of come out firing on all cylinders. Sorry for the pun.
Long one today with the pun,
it's
Sarah.
It's too easy.
And that's exactly what he did. I was very proud of him.
That was great. Yeah, I think you guys took both of my MVPs. I think Checo, I was very happy for him. Sainz, excellent drive. So I'm going to give my MVP to Gunther Steiner for making his Sky Sports debut. He was crushing it as a commentator on the grid.
Also, so many cheers at Roebling for Steiner when he came on the screen. And apparently the Netflix cameras were following Steiner around the paddock like the whole weekend. So Steiner will be featuring in season 7, never fear.
He has already cemented his place. Okay, how about LVPs?
Alpine. It's easy, but I'm just still kind of shocked. They're both out in Q1. They had, I think, by far the worst car on Sunday. The only reason they didn't come in 19th and 20th and instead came in 17th and 18th was because Bottas and Sargeant had substantial car issues that put them back.
56-second pit stop.
Yeah, that put them back a full lap. And Logan's steering wheel had to get replaced. So when those are the only two cars you're beating, that's a tough spot.
Yeah, like it's actually kind of cool to – maybe we should have given our MVP to Haas because like they could be a midfield team. I mean, maybe I'm speaking too soon.
You're getting real ahead of yourself here.
But I don't know. They're definitely – I think we might be seeing Alpine and Williams. Alpine and Stake as like the bottom two and then having Williams and – okay, Haas. So maybe P17, P16. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, I think first race of the season, let's see what happens. But it would be wild to see Alpine finishing last. Like even P9, P10 and constructors would be crazy. Just a fall from grace. So I definitely agree with that LVP. For me, I'm going to go with the Yuki and Danny drama. Yes. I just feel like first race of the season, why does it have to be like that? First of all, I mean, we'll talk about the team order situation. I personally don't understand why the team felt the need to do that when neither of them were in a points scoring position, but c'est la vie. The dive bomb at the end on the cool down lap and just the radio messages, the drama, like it just feels so unnecessary and just a bad look and a bad start to the season for the team and for both of them individually. So it's a bummer.
I really thought Yuki had turned over a new leaf because during quali, there was like a little kerfuffle that happened and he didn't curse. He was like very poised on the radio and the commentators were like, wow, has Yuki turned over a new leaf? And so we were
absolutely not.
Yeah, that's
Danny swearing on the radio. Like, I feel like we don't hear that very often.
Yeah, I think those are both very good LVPs. I think also my LVP would go to Stake because I had high hopes for them and it doesn't seem like they will be delivering on those.
MVP to their livery though. They looked so, I think their car looks so good on track. The colors, fire.
Yeah. I mean, you can amazing. Walk.
I think best livery.
Yeah. They look good, but they're not going that fast. Anyways.
It's such a sea of – we talked about this with the exposed carbon fiber and trying to carb weight, but it's just such a sea of gray and black, even for cars that kind of have pops of colors. They can blend together a bit, and the kind of dark, muted – jewel tones that everyone seems to use.
The blues and the greens.
Yeah. And it just really stuck out. It makes me wish more teams use the super bright colors.
Agreed.
Totally.
Okay. Hot takes. Mine was
I don't
so
think
bad.
Any of us did well on this.
Why was I was so confident and I was like, Max is going to win. Okay, fine. And then I said Oscar and Charles. And then a Mercedes, and then Checo. So
yours
I was like,
so specific.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the last time I knew something specific. It was kind of like a hurrah for the first race of the season. But the only thing I got right was Max winning. So,
well, that's hot. That's a big bet. I said a Lando podium, which unfortunately was not to be. They had said before, well, kind of during the weekend before the race, that this car, they weren't expecting this track to suit their car. So I guess I should have known better. But yeah, I'm happy that they were double points. So at least that's good.
For me, I said Max needing to fight for the win and getting good wheel-to-wheel battles. I don't even know what I was thinking. Literally just wishful thinking and overly optimistic. So in reality, he had to do a wheel-to-wheel fight for all of about 6.5 seconds into turn one, and that's it.
Yep. And then off into the sunset.
Okay, friends, it's festival and concert season, and you know it's all about the boots this year. That's why you need to make Tecovas your number one place for festival style this spring. And don't forget to shop their seasonal and limited edition offerings, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. We love Tecovas. They have a first wear comfort, which basically means there's no break-in period. It's the best thing ever. So stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, and shop new styles. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized, and with regular live music and events, there's really no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it to a store, though, just visit tecovas.com, tecovas.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and they ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
So some quick practice and quali highlights. So practice, I think we kind of mentioned this already, but a great example of why we sound like absolute broken records talking about how much you need to take practice results with a grain of salt, but this is why. So FP1, we had Danny on top and Yuki was P4. So we were really excited about VCAR, but false hope there. FP2, similarly, Mercedes was on top, false hope there as well. And then FP3, Sainz P1. So slightly more representative, but still not the best. We didn't have a Red Bull on top of any practice. So,
but you can always consistently count on Red Bull sandbagging too. So no surprise there.
I don't even know if it's sandbagging or just when you're so confident in your car and whatever the data is they're seeing. I think they're probably able to run such more specific test plans and unique setups. You could hear Max complaining about the car. So it seems like maybe they were just experimenting, playing a bit outside of the box, and then just put everything together. Because it was also the classic format of Max in the first or second practice complaining about how the car wasn't working whatsoever, then winning by 20 seconds.
That's sandbagging.
Yeah. Right.
Okay, so for quali, so for Q1, we had both of the stakes out. Like we said, it was kind of disappointing with a lot of potential optimism that they had kind of around them heading into the season. Another big shock was both Alpines were out. Started the true disaster of a weekend for them. Logan was out, and then Stroll was P2 in Q1, so that was the most excitement we had there.
For Q2, what was kind of notable here was that Leclerc set the pace. He was 0.2 up on Verstappen. So at least in some situations, it seems like there is quali pace, air pole pace in that Ferrari. For cuts out of Q2, we had both Racing Bulls or V-Carbs, K-Mag, Albon, and Stroll, which means none other than Nico Hülkenberg making a big Q3 appearance, which many of you were super excited about.
The Hulk. We have seen, as our favorite saying now, glory laps from the Haas and quali, but we'll see if they can hang on during races as we go through the season. For Q3, Max got pole by 0.2, but the crazy thing here was that Charles's Q2 lap would have beat him. So it was just like another sad thing for Charles, but yeah, I guess people got slightly slower in Q3. Max also did get a big toe down the main straight, so that definitely helped. But then after Max, we had Charles P2, George P3, Carlos P4, and Checo P5. So our Red Bulls, Ferraris, and Mercedes lining up.
Lining up as we expect them to. Okay, we talked about our overall highlights of the race, but overall, like we said, not very thrilling. A tiny bit of a little bit of a hint of a fight with Charles and Max going into turn one. Obviously, Max just got lost and hung out by himself for the rest of the race. And the first stint was kind of the most exciting. There was some fun wheel-to-wheel action with the McLarens, with the Ferraris, kind of like teammate battles, but we haven't seen or we didn't see as much as we wanted. And this was apparently the first season opener in F1 history without any DNFs. So what do you guys think about that? I mean, I think that's kind of bad. The DNFs add a little action and spice.
Well, it's ironic because we had no DNFs, but we had so many reliability issues that it was like almost a tease. So I guess I'm happy, I guess, that there weren't any DNFs, but it wasn't the best reliability race. For sure.
Yeah, we had both of the Mercedes batteries seemingly dying. Williams having issues with those new steering wheels. Lewis's seat was broken, apparently. Okay, Sarah, why don't you start with your favorite team?
Well, I don't know about that right now, but for Red Bull, focusing on Max, of course, it was a perfect weekend for him. He had pole, led every lap, got fastest lap, won the race, was 22 seconds ahead of Checo, lapped up to P12, just a classic Max performance. Besides some action off the line, he was truly alone all race. One thing we were talking about at the watch party, which is so funny, is an actual serious question. Is Max bored? Because we know all these drivers just thrive off the adrenaline, thrive off these wheel-to-wheel battles. Of course, on a lot of tracks, especially the most technically challenging ones, it's still an incredibly physically taxing thing, just keep your car on track and to stay focused enough to keep your car on the racing line. But what do you guys think? What do you think, he's bored at this point, going on three seasons of this? Like, he can't be that happy about it.
I definitely think he's bored. I also think he hates that there are 24 races. He has said multiple times, including this weekend, he's like, I don't feel the need to do 7 or 8 championships. Like, I feel really happy with what I've already done. And we were joking at Roebling that it must be written in GP's contract that he has to like keep Max entertained or like be telling jokes or just like getting him mad. How else, like, besides, I guess, lapping cars, like, what other excitement is there for him?
Yeah, we were joking at Roebling's, instead of blue flags getting waved for the back markers, Max is going to be like, no, tell them to fight, tell them to try to defend, because otherwise, what is he doing? Yeah, GP probably trying to get Max riled up or criticize him just to kind of get a reaction out of him.
Just like get him going.
It just can't be fun at this point. And the novelty of it wears off. Like, I'm sure it's so incredible. The first 10, 15 times you have a perfect race weekend and see no one after turn one. But like, that's not what he signed up for as a racing driver.
Oh, yeah. You know what this kind of reminds me of? You remember like you would drive to school every day and you knew the routine so well, and like you would get home and you're like, how did I just drive here? Like, what just happened? I feel like he just finishes the race. He's like, what just happened for the last 2 hours? Like, was I even driving? What happened?
Hasn't even broken a sweat. Although I do have to say, I love the G-Force graphic that they have, at least on ESPN. It's so cool.
Wait, can you describe it so people know what you're talking
about? Yeah. So when you're looking at the kind of dash cam view of the drivers, there's this like center circle where you can see a live view of what the G-Force is on that driver at any given point. So it's just really cool to see that kind of tick up and down.
Yeah, they're always working.
I really hope they bring in the helmet cams. I think they tested on Lewis at the very end of last season, where it was more advanced helmet cam where you could kind of see turn banking and it felt like a really more authentic point of view camera. I really hope they play with that more this season too.
Okay, let's jump into Ferrari here. I think the biggest thing, well, Sainz did really well. Okay, great. They're tired for really holding up, and that's something that they've struggled with a lot in the past. So that's definitely very promising. And the two drivers had some good wheel-to-wheel action. Sainz passed Charles on track twice. But I think what's really crazy to me is that Charles was really struggling. He locked up multiple times in the first, 15 or 20 laps of the race. And I think Sainz is making a much stronger showing than Charles. What do you guys think?
Well, Charles also was saying that every time he braked, his car would go to the right. It just seemed like he was having huge issues with just driving the car smoothly. So I think it's a little bit hard to say if Sainz like really outperformed him on an apples to apples basis, but it is great for Sainz to come out and get a podium on the first race. But yeah, I felt bad for Charles. It just feels like such bad luck all the time. So
we could make like a 20-minute movie montage of all of Charles's bad luck moments.
Yeah, so bad. But what do we think about Ferrari in terms of their fight with Mercedes, their fight with McLaren? Do we feel like they're kind of a shoe-in for P2? Obviously, how someone starts the season is not how they end always. But how do we feel about their pace compared to the other people that they're potentially fighting P2 for?
Pace looks really strong. Consistency is where they're going to have to like hammer it home.
I think it's going to be between McLaren and Ferrari for P2.
Oh, interesting.
I think Mercedes is kind of out of it. We'll get more into this, but I think Mercedes having such substantial reliability problems after years of trying to fix this is just such a bad sign for the rest of the season for them. Mm. So I think and McLaren obviously being able to keep their momentum going from the end of last season, I think probably P2 and P3 will be McLaren and Ferrari. My current guess would be Ferrari P2. Again, it's obviously only been one race, but I was pretty impressed with Ferrari showing, at least on the Sainz front. And I'm excited to see what – I think Charles definitely was having car problems. So I think if they're able to figure out whatever the issue was there, maybe a brake balance problem, I'm not sure, then I think he would have been really fighting for the podium as well.
I'm going to disagree slightly on the Mercedes side just because I think both cars were having serious problems, reliability issues as well. Like the fact that they did come P5, P7,
yeah.
I wouldn't count them out of the P2 fight or even P3 if we're saying it's only going to be Ferrari and McLaren fighting for P2. So I definitely wouldn't count them out. But yeah, the reliability is a big, big issue. So I don't know what's going on. I know they have a very new car concept, so a lot of stuff has changed, but it just feels like they got to get it right. Like if Hamilton's seat is literally breaking in the first race, like
His battery is at 1%.
Yeah.
The battery is so concerning too because it's a power unit problem. It's not tied to kind of a new aerodynamic concept.
Right.
Obviously, they must have done something to it. But the fact that the battery was breaking on both cars, so Hamilton seemed to completely break at one point. George was instructed not to use the overtake button. That's super concerning. Yeah.
Let's talk about Lewis and Mercedes. Question for Tiggy as we get into Mercedes now. So you're saying, okay, Mercedes actually might be really strong and like they even did really well with this issue. So what if we have a season-long constructors P2, P3 battle between Ferrari and Mercedes? How the heck is Lewis going to feel about this whole situation? Like it would feel so weird.
I think it would be exciting. I think he would feel like he's making potentially the right move, you know, in a car.
If Ferrari comes on top.
Yeah, if Ferrari comes on top. And it was funny though. I feel like it can just swing either way. Like at any given moment when the Mercedes looks good, people were putting memes all over the place earlier this weekend of like, how quickly can Hamilton back out of his Ferrari contract and then like vice versa. So I feel like Hamilton just has to feel good about his decision and stick with it and hope that Ferrari does do well this year because it means that he's going to be hopping into a good car next season. So
yeah, we got to hope that Ferrari does well. Like if Mercedes beats Ferrari this year, George will feel good.
For McLaren, so another team here that's hopefully going to be fighting for the P2 spot, they got P6 and P8, so P6 for Lando, P8 for Oscar, but they were fighting right up there in the upper midfield. Some amazing on-track battles, like we said, between the two of them, but they kept it clean, so we always love to see that. They both seem very kind of happy and optimistic after the race, and they also posted a great graphic of how the last two season openers, they had 0 points, and this time they had a combined 12. So definitely starting the season off better than they have in the past. So hopefully all up from here.
For Aston Martin, they were P9 and P10. Like Tiggy said, a really great recovery drive from Stroll, which was good to see. It does seem like there may be an example of being a bit more stuck, kind of where they finished last season, more in the P8 to P10 range and behind Ferrari, McLaren, and Mercedes instead of kind of really up in that fight that we keep talking about for P2, P3, and constructors. But we'll see. Maybe they've learned a lot of lessons from last season with the in-season development race. I'm curious about where that could lead. But right now it feels like they're kind of in a holding pattern from the end of last season.
Holding pattern is the exact right way to put it. Okay, V-carb. Sarah seems to – she's going to be calling them racing bulls this season. I think I'm going to switch to V-carb.
I really haven't decided. What do we feel like most people are doing?
V-carb. It's like rolls right off the tongue.
V-carb rolls right off the tongue.
So the that team that we just said, they looked maybe a little bit better from last year, but no crazy improvement. And, of course, the biggest thing here is some teammate drama already rearing its head at the beginning of the season. I never would have expected this from Danny and Yuki. They seem to be, like, the cutest, most amicable pair. But we all do know that Yuki has a little fiery streak in him. So this is what happened.
That's an understatement.
I'm trying to be nice. So with only 5 laps to go, the drivers were in P13 and P14, so literally no points in play here at all. The team ordered Yuki to let Danny through to try to overtake K-Mag, but still no points were at play. So Yuki was obviously very displeased, said some stuff on the radio, and then Danny ended up not making the overtake happen. And then during the cool down lap, what was it? They dive bomb Yuki, just like dive bombed Danny, and it seemed kind of dangerous and weird.
So inappropriate. Yeah. So inappropriate.
What was that call? Like, I don't think it made any sense at all. Like, why you're trying to start drama is basically my thought.
I get it. If you're in a potential points position and it's not the first race of the season, and yeah, I mean, I guess Danny was on softs, so there was a different tire strategy, but it just felt like, what are you playing for here? There's 5 laps
left.
What
are you playing for?
Yeah, P13 and P14. It wasn't like Danny was going to be able to make up 4 spots. So
at all in the V carb? Absolutely not.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was really – it was just a bizarre call. It wasn't even like they were fighting for P10 and needed to get the fastest car in front to maybe have a chance of points. There were no points even within
sniffing.
There were
distance.
No realistic points whatsoever on the table. They would have had to overtake in, what, 3 cars in basically 4 laps? It was never going to happen. So it seemed like a really strange call, but at the same time, I think – it's in everyone's right to disagree with team orders. I think you can make your displeasure known professionally, hopefully on the radio, which is oftentimes asking for too much, or after the fact. But I was really disappointed with how Yuki handled it.
Yeah, this is not great. For steak, or it seems like the announcers are calling them Sauber. So I don't know. I could go either
Damn,
way.
Damn, we have too many team names now, and we have 12 team names.
So Joe had a good race, finished P11, so close to the points, which is encouraging. And unfortunately for Bottas, his front left wheel got stuck, and it seemed like there was a problem with the wheel gun. So the stop was over 50 seconds long, which was just so brutal. So he came P19 right in front of Logan. But yeah, I mean, I guess they looked slightly better than maybe expected in the kind of lower midfield. But yeah, it was a bummer that we didn't really get to see Bottas in his full form.
For Alpine, I mean, we already talked about kind of how the weekend turned out for them, but I think a lot of their lack of performance might still be, of course, issues organizationally from the team. There was news this weekend that broke that 2 of their senior technical leaders of the team, they handed in their resignations about a month ago. So there's still a lot going on. And maybe that's why they moved so far backwards. Like maybe the leadership shakeups, I don't know if they were a mistake, but they're not going to play through positively at least anytime soon.
Totally.
For Haas, just continually cursed by their failure to convert Q3 appearances. Hulk had a mega showing. He got P10 in quali, but then had lap 1 damage that ruined his race. I feel like this happens to him a lot. It was unfortunate. But K-Mac hung in there in the upper midfield. Like we were saying, he kept both V-carb / Racing Bulls behind him amidst their teammate drama. Neither of them were able to overtake him in the last stint there. So looked like K-Mac had some Sunday pace in him.
Totally.
Sunday pace. I love that.
Saturday pace, actually.
Oops, Saturday pace.
For Williams, they had an amazing first stint. They were up to P11 and P13, 10 laps in, but then were derailed substantially by reliability issues. As we mentioned, Albon's power unit was overheating. He had steering wheel problems. His engineer was like, do this, you know, go to this gear or whatever. And he was like, I literally can't see the steering wheel, like it's broken. And then Logan's steering wheel also was on the fritz, which caused him to have a huge off. And they had to pit him and replace his steering wheel. So he was just way behind and unfortunately finished last. Not the best for them, but at least a little bit encouraging that hopefully if they sort reliability out, they have some pace.
Okay, let's jump into news of the week, news singular, because I think the biggest news item that we can talk about today is unfortunately not a very happy one. And of course, we've been following as much as everyone else has been all of the news with Christian Horner. So in early February, the Red Bull Corporation launched an internal investigation against Horner after a female employee lodged a complaint against him. There was an independent lawyer that reportedly conducted this investigation, and Red Bull received a lot of criticism for the process taking several weeks, not releasing any details at all to Formula One or the public. And then during this whole time, Horner kind of was going about his job as usual. And then right before the race this weekend, Red Bull cleared Horner of any wrongdoing, but again, didn't really release any information. You can go online and see the full statement from Red Bull, the overall Red Bull Corporation, Red Bull GmbH, but they said, you know, the investigation is complete. The grievance has been dismissed. The investigation report is confidential and we will not be commenting further out of respect for all concerned. So really, we didn't get that much, I would say.
We got nothing. And there was a lot of kind of concerns around the lack of transparency. And so the update was that on Thursday, a supposed anonymous sender sent about 200 people in the paddock, including journalists, key F1 leadership, team principals, even Stefano Domenicali, a Google Drive folder containing alleged evidence against Horner. And his response when that came out was, quote, "I'm not going to comment on any anonymous speculation from unknown sources." And news outlets, F1 reporters so far have not been able to verify or authenticate the contents of the folder. So outlets have not yet published them. F1 and the FIA leadership met about the situation over the weekend. But as of the time of this recording, it seems like Horner still has his job, further action not being taken, although it does seem like the situation is still developing, just given it's now an international news story. And even Ben Saliam, the FIA principal, said that, quote, "It's damaging the sport. This is damaging on a human level." So I think from our perspective, it's just very disappointing overall that Red Bull and F1 may have mishandled the situation, just given how seriously complaints by female employees should be taken. The fact that we really have no transparency over the situation at all, and that this has taken so long, and it just feels like it's been handled in a sloppy manner.
So jumping into Saudi, which is next Saturday, we have two Saturday races to start off the season, which is interesting. This is a much newer race. The first Grand Prix here was only in 2021, and it was a dramatic one. But it has quickly become a well-known track due to how fast of a track it is and also safety criticisms. There's a lot of potential for danger here given how incredibly fast of a track it is. And it's also extremely narrow, which increases safety problems. The Jeddah Corniche circuit is 50 laps and 6.1 kilometers. It's a temporary street circuit with a few more permanent sections. It has the most corners on the calendar, which is interesting. It's also the second longest circuit after Spa, and it has three DRS zones.
And like we said, this is the fastest street circuit on the calendar. The average speed here can be around 250 kilometers per hour, faster than Silverstone, just second to the Temple of Speed, which is Monza. And this is a fundamentally different track from Bahrain, so it'll be a lot more challenging for teams to figure out their setups, because in Bahrain they had a lot of time in testing to get the lay of the land and see what was up. So you know, maybe this will help throw in some curveballs and we'll see something different.
So for last year's race, Checo won, our street circuit master. Granted, Max had started P15 due to a technical failure during quali and still drove to P2 on a super narrow circuit. So he made his way back, but good for Checo. It was also Alonso's 100th podium, which was exciting. So that was great. But any big predictions? Who potentially could stand out? Who could struggle here? Get into our hot takes. What do you guys think?
Checo.
Yeah, Checo's going to do really well here. I think that could be a cold take, since we expect that from him. I think my hot take is that Ferrari's going to have some big issues next weekend.
Like reliability or what?
Yeah.
What kind of stuff?
Just because it's fundamentally a different track, like we just said, they're going to have to readjust the setup, and I don't know. I'm feeling it. I don't know what to say. It just is a premonition that just happened to me.
It's a hot take. For me, I'm going to go with a Mercedes podium. I think George or Lewis will be on the podium. I think they'll hopefully have figured out some of their reliability and come back swinging.
I think for me, I'm going to vote on a bit of a shakeup from Bahrain. I'm trying to still decide what I'm quantifying as a shakeup. I think a non-max winner. I'm going to go with Checo winning.
What?
And I think maybe someone slightly more interesting on the podium that we haven't seen. I just think it is so...
like an Alpine.
That's hot.
Thinking more like a McLaren or an Aston Martin, but we'll see what happens.
A V-carb?
Yeah. Danny wins.
A V-carb steak Alpine triple podium.
I think this circuit is just so different. It's so fast, really rewards straight line speed, but it's also narrow, technically difficult. I think Checo really thrives here, but I think it's so – Bahrain's kind of so unrepresentative of it. I think we could maybe see something a bit interesting happening, maybe a setup that really was struggling in Bahrain could do super well here.
Love it. Love it. So with that, thank you all for listening. And thank you again to everyone who came to the watch party. It just made our whole F1 season to see everyone's faces at Roebling this morning. So it was really fun. And as a quick reminder, people can actually still join our Grid Rival team. Of course, if you haven't joined yet, you know, you might have lost out on potential advantage from this weekend. But if you can still join. And if you join, you'll still get some points. So you're not going to be all the way at the back of the grid. Definitely meet us over there. The link to sign up is in our show notes, and it's all over our Instagram. So talk to you guys later.